the Football Sack Podcast, brought to you by Summerland Credit Union. Go to summerland.com.au for more info.
Hello and welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. The Sack on Sunday. It is the Sack on Sunday. I've forgotten what day it is. We're back. We're calling this 99.5, episode 99.5. I have with me here the one and only Supernova, Pete Nowakowski. Welcome to the show, mate. It's good to be back on the airwaves, isn't it?
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, it is absolutely awesome to be back. So I'm quite enjoying our new studio setup. It's pretty classy what we've got done here.
These microphones, I'm loving these microphones. I feel like I am a 60s musician. They look so cool.
Yeah, I have to agree. They are pretty retro, but at the same time, they just look absolutely amazing. So I am pretty stoked that we managed to get these.
All right, this show is the New South Wales Premier League wrap-up, I guess. We haven't talked at all this season so far about the New South Wales Premier League, and I really want to catch up on it and just have a little chat about it, because we've been to a lot of games over the past 6 weeks, and it's now into round six, I believe, six or seven, so we really need to... We really need to talk about it, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, basically, we missed the first 5 weeks of the competition, so we thought it was only fair that we started on week six, and that way we can keep up to date with everything that's been happening, because, of course, there were three games that were played out yesterday on Saturday, and then three games today on Sunday.
Yeah, and let's go through those games. Look, I've just got back from the 3 p.m. Rockdale City Suns versus Manly United, and Rockdale, surprisingly, got a 2-1 win over Manly United. I mean, neither team have had a win so far this season after all these rounds, and so Rockdale have achieved their first win. And you know who that's under? That's under new coach Mark Rudin. Rudes, that's all right.
Last one. So the Sky Blue, Big Blue Man has come back to start a coaching career, and looks like he's started really, really well for Rockdale City Suns, that's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't realize he has his FFA B license, so good on him for that. He's slowly reaching up. He's going to rise through the coaching ranks. And I caught up with him after the game and I asked him whether he preferred coaching or commentary. And I've done a little interview with him via video, and that's going to be up on the Football Sack soon, Pete. What do you reckon? Do you reckon he could be a coach?
Yeah, well, if he keeps going the way he is, he's actually going to become more qualified than John Cosmina pretty soon. But at the same time, he is doing really, really well. He's got the perfect philosophy of the way that he wants his team to be playing. He's got the right players under his reign. He's just got the perfect setup for him. And now he needs to be able to build this team up, because Rockdale City Suns, they're not having the best start to the season. They're currently sitting in 10th on the ladder. They need to improve. And this is the perfect time for Rudes to take control and now build up the team the way that he wants it to be done.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he said in the interview. Aren't you good?
What? I just predicted everything.
You haven't even seen it yet.
Nope, haven't seen it, haven't heard it, none of that.
But he's only had one training session with the players so far, so that was his first game in charge of the team on match day. He's got plenty of time.
It's always the way whenever there's a new coach. The players instantly lift just because they want to impress the new coach. So maybe if Rockdale have a new coach every single week, they could win this season.
Well, you know
they
what?
They could do it.
They pretty much have had a new coach every week. Well, not every week, but they've had about four in the past 18 months. I remember Lee Sterry came in last season, but he only came in last minute. So there was someone else lined up, and I can't remember who that was. And then this season they've had someone else, and now Root. So that's four. Four coaches in 18 months, Pete. That's more than Sydney
FC. Pretty good. So, yeah, so basically if anyone wants to apply for the position of City Suns, feel free to email us and we can pass on your details. There we go.
That's more coaches than Sydney FC have had CEOs. It's not.
That is true. That's true. That's,
well, in the past 18 months.
It's a good little stat. It's a good little stat, though.
Yeah, Parramatta. Not Parramatta. Parramatta is the team that I've chosen to support this year, but they are hopeless. And I really expected more of them under Lee Sterry, who transferred from Rockdale, and he's come to Parramatta to try and change this setup. Parramatta didn't do very well last year either, and they've got heaps of new players this year, some of whom Lee Sterry picked. Lot of youngsters.
They might have new players, but at the same time, they're winless in six games. They've had five losses. They've only achieved one draw.
Yeah.
And they've let 10 goals sink through the back of their net. It is a horrible start for Lee Sterry at Parramatta. He's just not set the tone of what his new style of football is going to be at the club, which is a massive disappointment for all of the spectators out there.
He's no Brian Dean, let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Brian Dean had the hair at least. Lee Sterry, what's he got?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Sydney FC have picked up Brian Dean. Not Ryan Dean. It's his younger brother. It's not. Parramatta, yeah. So basically, I've just come on this podcast to really say, to put the call out to Parramatta to say, lift your game, because I chose to support you. I was looking for a team. I'm not originally from Sydney, so don't have any allegiances anywhere, and I chose Parramatta. But the Eagles, they're really not doing it justice. My support, it might be wavering by the end of the season.
Well, it's an odd thing, because Melita Stadium is something of a fortress when it comes to the Women's Super League, because that's a competition that I look after now.
Oh.
But at the same time, Parramatta FC have not made Melita a fortress in the Men's Premier League. It's a completely different story. When you go to Melita Stadium now, teams are thinking, okay, we could actually get easy points here. Mm. Look at Blacktown City. They don't have the best squad, Blacktown. But at the same time, they managed to get a 2-0 win over Parramatta on Saturday night. Like, it's just a simple result for them. But at the same time, Melita Stadium isn't as daunting as what it's been in the past.
No, and you're exactly right. Yep. Melita Stadium, for the record, has had a complete transformation this season. Last year, it was looking a bit worse for wear as Parramatta re-entered the New South Wales Premier League. And since then, they've had a $60,000 upgrade to the ground. So a new paint job, new branding, just in and out, inside and outside. It's looking pretty swish. It's a whole new turf that's been laid down there. And you would have expected Parramatta to start playing some better football on the pitch that has been laid for them, but perhaps
you
not
think
yet.
So, but obviously not yet. Yeah, it could come in a couple of weeks' time, but at the same time, they need to start building their squad at the backs, work their way forwards, because after all, they've only scored 2 goals in 6 games.
Wow,
it's not good. It's not good at all.
In this, so let's go back to the Rockdale game that I've just been at. I've just come back from, yes. And I did interview Mark Rudin, the new coach of Rockdale. So check that out up on the Football Sack now, probably by the time this goes to recording and production and is up online. You know, one of the players for Manly United is called Mugabe. Do you know
yes.
that?
Yes, yes, Mugabe. Yeah.
Now there was a moment they were 1-0 down, Manly United. It was the second half. They just come back out from the blocks, and he had a penalty claim. Those claims Mugabe had for a handball inside the box could have been a penalty. Now, it wasn't given, and I just think that it really probably should have been, just to be on the safe side, you know? His name is Mugabe, after all. You don't know what's going to happen.
I'm not sure what you're trying to get at there, buddy. Let's just try and avoid the sensitive topics such yeah. as that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. Put me straight. That's fine. You know who else plays for Manly United? Chris Payne. I saw him running about up the front of the attack. He did all right.
Yeah, he's actually having a pretty good start to the season. He's scored a couple of goals already. He's setting things up. The main player I still think of Manly United has to be their centre-back, and their captain is Mark Richards. Now, he is a fantastic centre-back. He's getting in age a little bit, but at the same time, he has that captain's head.
Now,
he knows how to tackle, he knows how to think.
You're going to hate me here, because you're right. He is a good player, but he was substituted in the second half, and that started the comeback for Manly United. The substitute that came off for Richards was the goal scorer for Manly, and it went to 1-1. Obviously, it wasn't enough in the end. But the substitute, whose name was Damir Pradanovic. I think I said that right. He's the goal scorer.
Yep.
Pradanovic.
Yeah, formerly with Apia Leichhardt Tigers, some people would know him from.
Ah, and Apia played a game today as well, or last night, was that? No, it was this afternoon.
This afternoon.
Sydney Olympic.
They managed to actually beat Sydney Olympic 2-1 as well, which was an absolutely epic result for Apia Leichhardt Tigers. It was in front of their home crowd at Lambert Park, and things are just looking really, really good for Apia. So they just keep on the path that they're going at the moment. And who knows, they could be up there come the end of the season, because at the moment they're in eighth, but they're pushing up there for that top five, top six kind of spot there.
The New South Wales Premier League's number one fan, Andrew French, will probably be very happy with Apia Leichhardt getting a win over Sydney Olympic.
Definitely. Well, he is a member of the Apia Leichhardt Tigers supporters and...
The Fanatics? Is he one of their Fanatics?
Yes, the Fanatics. Probably the Fanatics or the Ultras, whatever you would like to call them. So he would be very, very happy with that result, that's
for
sure.
I saw a picture of their membership card that you get. Or it's not a card. It's a key ring. And it's, I think it's quite, it's metal or it's silver. And it's this amazing, really, looks really expensive. But it's a membership, and that's what you get when you sign up.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Rather than having yourself a little membership card that you would keep in your wallet, you actually get a key ring. So that way you can't lose it, you can't forget it somewhere. It's a brilliant idea by Apia. So they need to keep doing what they're doing right now because it seems to be working.
Yeah, and good luck to them for the rest of the season. So what went wrong for Olympic, I wonder? They're obviously last year's champions and premiers. So they're about fifth or sixth. Where are they on the table?
Apia Leichhardt Tigers are sitting on eighth, Sydney Olympic currently sitting in sixth.
Sixth so spot. That's not good enough for Olympic, surely.
It's not good enough for them, but at the same time, it was just unlucky that as Sydney Olympic lost this game against Apia today. Things were looking really, really good, but at the same time, you just expect Sydney Olympic to be getting the wins every week. You just expect that the quality of players that they have, that they can produce the results and be up there challenging for top place every single time.
Another team that you expect to get the win is Sydney United. Now, they played Bonnyrigg White Eagles today. Obviously, that's the possibly the biggest and the most, well, hate-filled rivalry in the league. Bonnyrigg versus United, and that happened this afternoon as well.
For the fourth year in a row, fans were actually kept out of this game at Edenza Park or at Sydney United Sports Centre, whatever you would like to be calling it, simply because of the problems between the spectators, we'll just say, and leave it at that.
to put that lightly. United, they came away with the win, and it's not surprising, but Bonnyrigg have had... Is it an unbeaten run so far? They're on about 15 points and they're top of the table.
Well, this is actually Bonnyrigg's first loss of the season. So massive result for Sydney United. It pushes them up to fifth on the ladder. Bonnyrigg are still top. They've just been tearing up this league at the moment. So they are doing really, really well. But Sydney United, everyone expected them to have a good game against Bonnyrigg. I'm not sure people actually expected them to get the win. But at the same time, they did, and they deserved it for the way that they played today.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll have to catch up with a few of our Sydney United friends over there to see what they have to say about that. Plenty of people on Twitter will be very happy that United are, well, moving up the table, I'd say. I read a weekly review of the New South Wales Premier League, and it was done by our Melbourne-based friend, David Manuka. Did you read that one as well? And he had Bonnyrigg White Eagles as the team to beat this season. And I'm not sure about that. I mean, yeah, they're top at the moment, but Sydney United's the team to beat this season.
It's definitely leaning that way.
Or is Bonnyrigg? It's not, whatever it is, it's not Bonnyrigg for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Bonnyrigg. Bonnyrigg are the richest club in the competition. They have the most money to be able to splurge around on players. But Sydney United... they probably have the best well-rounded team. They just have every position covered perfectly. Marconi, again, they have a really, really good squad, but the problem with them is their centre-backs, but we'll look at that in a moment. Sydney United, they're probably the team who everyone wants to beat. No matter where you are in the ladder, no matter what your position is, you want to beat Sydney United.
This is their second year with a similar based team. So they've had a lot more time to gel, I feel. Bonnyrigg, their team is a bit more fresh, bit young-faced. So sure, Bonnyrigg, and it's hard to come to terms with that Bonnyrigg are top of the table, but I think that might just be a bit of early season form. I think you'll find that United will come good, or even Marconi will come good as well. Explain to me a bit more about why you think their defence, Marconi's defence, is an issue.
Well, the obvious thing is, if you look at Saturday's result, Marconi beat South Coast Wolves 4-3. Mm. Now, I say that the defence is shocking because they let three goals go past them.
Right.
For that reason alone, as well as the fact that they've actually let in six goals in six games. So you're averaging one goal each game, basically.
That's not that many, surely.
It isn't, but at the same time, the way that Marconi is set up, you kind of hope that they aren't doing that. Three goals to let in by South Coast Wolves, not good enough. Their defence needs to improve really, really quickly. But they do have a decent squad. They do score a lot of goals. And I think that during the off-season, what Marconi did was they bought players and they increased their power in the midfield and in the front third. But they forgot about that back third. They didn't really sign anyone major in that back third. They basically retained the same squad from last season. Good, but at the same time, they needed to boost that defensive line, that defensive partnership, to be able to really challenge for a top spot this year.
Oh, well, interesting there with Marconi. Now, you touched on the Wollongong Wolves. Now, well, it's not the Wollongong Wolves anymore, isn't it? South Coast Wolves. I apologize. I wonder how Sasho Petrovsky is doing these days. Is he doing okay?
He's doing pretty damn good at the moment. He has continued his trend of trying to score a goal every single game. So that's basically his target. If he can do that, he's happy. If he can't, then he gets rather annoyed and a bit cranky and walks off the field, kicking the ground and all that kind of stuff. But South Coast, look, they're doing pretty good. They're actually coming second on the ladder at the moment, which is fantastic for them. Trevor Morgan, who is the head coach there, fantastic guy, and he knows his football very, very well in that area. He knows how to pick local guys, knows how to get the best out of all types of players, including the former myth, Jacob Timpano, people know him from the A-League. He's doing really well this season. So South Coast, I have good faith in them to finish in the top, probably top five come the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of if they've peaked too early, hitting that form very early in the season.
Right.
Hopefully they haven't, but at the same time, I'm not sure that they have a deep enough squad to keep them going all season.
Time will tell, and that's what I think will happen with Bonnyrigg White Eagles as well. Trevor Morgan, you mentioned him. I think he's a really good guy. He's just nice bloke, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah,
very, very cool guy.
So that, have we talked about most teams? Who have we missed out, and who haven't we talked about?
The only result we haven't talked about yet is the result at Blacktown Football Park. That was between Blacktown Spartans and Sutherland Sharks. Now, this ended in a Sutherland Sharks 4-1 win in an absolute thumping.
You're a little happy Sutherland about that one, Pete?
Just a little bit. Sutherland are my local team, so I kind of have to support them in whatever way I can. But at the same time, things just went really, really well for Sutherland. It's about time that they started getting a dominating win like that. They have a good enough squad, so they just need to keep moving forward from here and things will get better.
Good on them. Yeah. Four goals. That's a heap of goals. do you know who scored those goals, or do you not?
Sadly, off the top of my head, I don't remember. This game was last night, and a lot of things were happening around last night, so I don't really remember well.
You got heaps of women's Super League in your head, I'm sure. Talking about goals, the last goal for the Rockdale Manly match was obviously 2-1 over Manly. Rockdale had it. They got it in the 87th minute. It was from a Jasley free kick. He curled it into the near post, past the keeper. It was amazing.
Just putting it out there, Yasley used to be a Sutherland Sharks boy, never should have been let go, but so happens in football, and it kind of works. So kudos to Yasley, and kudos to Rockdale City Suns for getting the result there.
Yeah, well, he's definitely up there with man of the match for that game. Let's quickly touch on the fact that there's this recently this week, there's the talk of the Australian Premier League coming out. That was obviously a bit skewed information. From what I can gather, if you haven't seen the reports or read the reports, from what I can gather, next season, each league, state league, that is, are going to be changed to some sort of type conference division. Not much will change practically, but maybe the name and the branding of the competition might slightly be tweaked so that throughout the country, all the different state leagues come under the one a bit more togetherness and a bit more like-minded thinking, I guess, from the FFA. And it means that the FFA will be able to have a bit more say in what's going on. Is that what your understanding was of these reports, that the Australian Premier League, as its working title is being called?
Yeah, pretty much. So what you're going on about here, it basically means that each Premier League around the state is going to be called Australian Premier League whatever. So it's probably going to be here Australian Premier League New South Wales. It gets a bit long and a bit wordy.
Yeah.
So it becomes APLNSW. it would be Australian Premier League Queensland, Australian Premier League Victoria, and yeah. so on. This will not be a promotion or relegation at the moment. It's basically, we're only doing this because it will link up to being an FFA Cup kind of situation here.
It'll help, won't it?
Really, it will help, but at the same time, it just seems silly to be changing the names. We've already got everything already sorted out.
Do you think,
look at the situation in, like, Queensland. Are we going to have the Australian Premier League, Queensland State League, and then the Australian Premier League, Brisbane Premier League?
No, I think
it just seems odd.
Up in Queensland, they will disregard the Brisbane Premier League, I'd say, and Football Queensland will go with this APL Queensland. And like-mindedly, New South Wales will be APL New South Wales or whatever. And I mean, that's just a working title. It might not turn out to be that. It might be, what if we've bandied about some names, A2, B League, which I really don't like. And there's a few other ones as well.
Yeah, well, a couple of people have suggested, including Michael Roshek, formerly with The Sack on Sunday, probably he'll return sometime soon. He suggested the Australian Championship, or that way we follow in the English style. So it's the Australian Championship League. So that way it becomes ACL. So we could have something like that. Who knows?
But we must stress that it's not one league, is it? It's different. It's just the same. And New South Wales Premier League won't change much at all, I would say. It'll be branding. It'll be a few, maybe some different sponsors, some sponsors across the board, across all the state league. This is what I'm just kind of thinking. How would they incorporate it across every state league? And the idea is that the routes, the avenues for player development will increase so that there's a one clear direction to the A-League.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So who knows? It could actually happen. It might not. This could just be hearsay. Basically, just stay in touch with the Football Sack website for all details. If it does actually happen, we'll write a little article about it, and that way we'll showcase it.
We definitely will. Just quickly, do you like the idea? Do you hate it?
I'm not a fan of it myself, but that's just me being pedantic. Preferably, I like it to stay the way it is. I think that if something isn't broken, why try and fix it? That's just me. But if that's
like
what
it.
The FFA think that they
I'm
do,
really happy with
then...
it. I just think that it's not. Yeah, it's not broken. It's not. But there is a lot of disunity, or there's no unity there between the leagues and all the different federations around the country. There's competition there. They don't really share enough information with each other. I've heard stories that this information and the wealth of knowledge that each federation has should be shared, and it should be accessible to everyone. And I'm sure that's through this brand change or whatever it is, whatever FFA have got in the works. I'm not saying I have complete faith in the FFA. I would probably never say that. But good luck to whatever they're doing.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Pete, do you want to quickly talk about Western Sydney, the A-League
yes, I
team
do.
Coming in?
Yes, I would like to. So there has been 6 fan forums now. A lot of work has been said. Not a lot of actions have actually been done. So in a way, it's good. It means that the fans are getting actually heard, but at the same time, it means that the fans are being heard and everyone's realizing how stupid fans can really be. For instance, at the first fan forum, which I wrote an article and live tweeted, people were getting up saying, can we be called Western Sydney Pride? I felt like throwing my chair at the person who said that. At the second fan forum, the same guy got up and said, can it be called Western Sydney
the
Pride?
Same guy.
No. Oh, my goodness. It's not going to be called Western Sydney Pride, you idiot. So look, it is good, but at the same time, you get to listen to fans and you realize how stupid fans can really be.
I think it was a mistake from the outset, letting fans have a say on playing style. You don't let fans have a say on playing style, surely.
No, but look, it's a really odd system because what it feels like is FFA already have worked out what they want Western Sydney to be all about. And what they're doing is they're just trying to get fans to try and say something so they can say, oh, yeah, we've had all this community involvement and that we've talked to fans about this and this is what they want, blah, 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 blah. And we've reworded it to be like this, which is exactly what we want. So I'm not sure whether or not this fan involvement will actually take place. If anyone's actually done this Western Sydney poll or the Western Sydney questionnaire, which is up on the website, I would like to have 10 minutes of my life back. It was an absolute waste of time. And whether or not the answers will actually be heard, I don't know.
I didn't even bother with it. I'm not in the Western Sydney, so it's not applicable to me. I'm a Sydney FC fan, so I don't need to answer the survey and pretend that I want the name Unicorns.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, plenty of people want the name Unicorns,
yeah.
But I just have a feeling it's going to be called Western Sydney Wanderers. So those people who are fans of getting tattoos, Western Sydney Wanderers,
book now.
ERER. Yep, book in right now.
Wanderers. How else would you spell it? I'm not sure. For me, asking all these questions and going on a listening tour, I guess, to steal Clive Palmer's Football Australia analogy, they're listening to all these fans. They're kind of setting up themselves to fail a bit in that if they don't fulfill what the fans have spoken, then they'll disillusion those fans straight away. If they don't, every one of these fans has asked every game needs to be at Parramatta Stadium. I'm pretty sure that's the general consensus. If FFA turn around and have any games at ANZ, the fans will feel like they haven't been listened to.
Yeah, well, what would you rather? Would you rather have a sold-out 21,000 people at Parramatta Stadium or 21,000 in an 80,000-seater ANZ stadium? Like, it's a no-brainer. It really is.
Yeah, and you really hope that common sense prevails. But so often with the FFA, common sense doesn't prevail.
We are talking about the FFA here, so I'm not predicting too much from them. But ooh, that was actually a bit of a low blow.
You sound disillusioned.
That's okay.
Move on. We'll press on.
Yeah. Well, let's have a look at, for instance, some players, because there are plenty of players out here on offer who could be in the setup for Western Sydney. Now, Ben Halloran is obviously going to be signed with Western Sydney. There's no doubt about it. He was the only person contracted at Gold Coast. Mm. So he's automatically going to be a Western Sydney striker. Now, we also have here Scott Chipperfield, who said on Twitter the other day that he has already won 9 championships with his team FC Basel and wants to make his 10th win with Western Sydney.
Boom.
So
it's as good
it
as
looks
there.
Like he's on his way.
He has to be there under the salary cap. If he's there as marquee, as Australian or international, whatever, it would just irk me if he gets any more than, say, 250,000.
Yeah, okay, fair call. So we've got, basically, you've already got a centre-back or you've got a left-back or a left midfielder and you've already got a striker sorted. Now, recently during the week, we've had Ante Kovic being released from Melbourne Victory. Ante Kovic, fantastic keeper. Without him at Melbourne Victory, there is no doubt about it. Victory would have finished bottom of the table. Ante Kovic, good chance that he's going to be the goalkeeper for Western Sydney, so you can sign him in your fantasy team straight away.
That's a couple of old people there. Chipperfield is, what, 36? How old's Kovic? Pretty old.
Kovic is getting on, but at the same time, he's brilliant. Goalkeepers get in their prime, in their best form, when they're between the ages of about 35 and 40. That's when they're at their best. They've had the most experience and know exactly how to do it.
Not good enough to be kept by Postecoglou, though. So, hey.
But that's because they had two keepers already signed up to their team.
Exactly.
Lawrence Torrance and Tando Vilappi.
I'm playing devil's advocate, Pete.
Yeah, fair call.
Well, I was about to say.
There you go.
We've got recently this week in the Daily Telegraph, I think I messaged you saying, hey, did you see Boz's team about Western Sydney? And a couple of these players that you've mentioned are a crossover with Mark Bosnich's, well, select 11 for the Western Sydney team.
See, great minds think alike. Great minds. Come on.
In the center of midfield, bossing the midfield for Western Sydney, Bozza has suggested Stephen Hayes.
Could not agree more. Could not agree more. He is an outstanding centre midfielder for Sydney United. Sorry, he has fantastic talent, vision, and he already has the surfy blonde hair.
Yeah,
he's sorted. Count him in.
He'll definitely appeal to those few Anglos out there in the West.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, the other person who would actually really like to see in that midfield, Jason Chalina. Now, we know about his injury. We know about everything that sorted out with him at Newcastle Jets. He actually has been spotted around Sydney a fair bit lately. Now, I know that he doesn't live too far away, but he has been spotted around town a fair bit. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Western Sydney did throw him a bone and say, come and play with us for a season, test out what your leg's all about, at least have a medical or something. He is a fantastic guy, and if you played him as, say, a holding midfielder, Steve Hayes in front of him, that could be a dominating midfield right there.
There could be some sort of deal there. You're right. You're picking up on some sort of deal possibly that the FFA are doing. Frank Lowy came. He talked to Nathan Tinkler last week, flew down to Brisbane to have special talks with him, and they reached a resolution on that Kalina-Chalina debacle. Perhaps Frank Lowy has something in mind for...
So
Jason down at West in Sydney.
Did they actually fix the issue of whether or not it is Chalina or Kulina?
Well,
or did they just fix the issue about his knee injury?
No, yeah, no, I think that's the eternal issue, is the name, which you call which. There's two Kalinas. There's a Kalina coach. There's a Kalina player. Chalina. One in the official how to say player names guide. But you're right, there could be some sort of conspiracy theory there that the Kalinas could both be headed to Western Sydney.
Could be. Now, let's talk about coaches for a sec here, because pretty much everyone has said they want Tony Popovich to be at Western Sydney. Now, he's doing some pretty damn good things over at Crystal Palace, over in England. He's plying his trade there really well. He's learning a lot. What do you think? Should he come home and be the first coach for Western Sydney, or should he stay overseas and keep on learning and build his career overseas?
Well, I know from that question, I can tell which way you're thinking. You definitely don't want to see him coming back just yet, do you, Pete?
Correct.
Now, I've heard in the media that he is getting cold feet a little bit, and I'm not sure. I think he'd be a good fit. I think people would really respond to Tony Popovich as coach of Western Sydney, but whether he's ready or not, not sure.
Okay, well, if we think about it as other coaches who could be ready for it, we've already got Peter Tekanis from Sydney Olympic. He is an outstanding coach, and we know all about his quality there. But if you also think about JP, who is the head coach at Sydney United, there are two already state league coaches who already could be assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Or at least first-team coaches in the A-League. Now, could they be a shout, maybe?
Look, I think you know that my dream team there would be Popovich, and then under him would be the two coaches who have done so well last year in Peter Tekanis and JP, Jean-Paul. They, as a threesome, would do quite well. No pun intended, not talking about threesome coaches. Let's move on from that one.
The devil's threesome of coaching.
But what I would like to then see is that they stuck with their teams currently, so that they were able to go back and coach Sydney Olympic, go back and coach Sydney United afterwards. I don't think either of them is ready to step up to be coach on their own or head coach of Western Sydney, I think there needs to be someone with a bit more experience at the top level, because at the end of the day, Western Sydney need to be, they need to be successful, don't they?
Yeah, they definitely do. So personally, I would like to see Petr Tikanis get the opportunity as the assistant coach of Western Sydney. I think he is a good fit, knows plenty of players around the place, and has proven his talent as a coach. So I would definitely like to see him involved. I don't want Tony Popovich, but it depends on who else. Personally, I'm not a fan of Gianfranco Zola to come out here. I don't think it will work. But he's is another name that's been thrown around lately. So basically, if anyone else wants to put their hand up as an opportunity to coach, if anyone's got the licensing already sorted, come on down and please have a go.
As always, the Football Sack genuinely put their hand up for coaching roles with any A-League club. Any State League club will take them on. Look, I think that's about enough time spent on the league that we love, the New South Wales Premier League, the much more stable than the A-League league. Pete, thank you for joining me. Supernova, it's always great talking this wonderful game and the wonderful New South Wales Premier League, isn't it?
Likewise, thank you very much for having me on yet again, and it is awesome to be back on the air. So thank you very much for joining us here for the Football Sack Sack on Sunday podcast.
Yes, this has been episode 99.5 of the Sack on Sunday.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.